Hello, and welcome to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. While there, you can join in the conversation about this show. Just search for Built Different podcast in your internet browser. Here now is your host, Zach Clinton, on this edition of the Built Different podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to this week's edition of the Build Different podcast. Today, I want to talk about teams and team culture. Whether or not you believe it, you're always a part of a team. At the end of the day, it's just true. That could be in a relationship, could be with your spouse, your significant other, could be with your family, could be athletically. You know, I think about the best teams. And I think about, what is team culture? How would you even define it? I looked it up online, actually, you know, the good place of Google. And I said, what is team culture? And it says, by the most basic definition, a team culture is made up of the values, beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors shared by a team. It's how people work together towards a common goal and how they treat one another. These attributes could be both positive or negative. Culture is a difficult concept to grasp, because it's generally unspoken and unwritten. It's about dynamics between humans. Different teams within a company can manifest their own culture, but they're generally influenced by the company culture as a whole. So at the end of the day, what that's saying is culture is everything. When I apply that to my own life, I think back to some memories that I had growing up as a kid, playing travel baseball, and high school baseball with, honestly, some of my very best friends and some of the people that I view as brothers and literally family to this day. I mean, I still can reach out to them about anything going on in my life. I know they're the ones that are always going to be there for me, and I think that's what culture is. I go back to, you know, playing baseball at LCA. The LCA baseball team, back when I was just a freshman starting out, there really wasn't that team culture where it was like that bond or that brotherhood, and you showed up to the field and you were like excited to be there, and I don't know, it just brought the passion out of you. But slowly, and that's what we have to understand, team culture is a process, and people have to buy in to the process. You have to go all in. It's either all in or nothing. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I look at teams like the Clemson Tigers, the Alabama Crimson Tide. I think of any team Tom Brady is on. I mean, goodness gracious, that dude brings the best out of people. Good leaders do these things, right? And that's what team culture is all about. I go back to my buddies here, and man, by my senior year of high school, we had such a close-knit group of guys that it was like I show up to the field knowing that no matter what happened that day, I was just excited to see them, one, and I would run through a brick wall for them, number two. And I think that's what the best teams are about. The ones that view each other as family, the ones that bought into the process. Inky Johnson says, can I be committed to the process without being emotionally attached to the results? So no matter what happens at the end of the day, knowing that I came out and I gave my all and I trusted my teammate who's beside me to give his all, that is how winning is done. It was almost like you have a little swagger to you, right? You have a little pep in your step, and you come to the field, no matter what that is, you come to the battleground of life, you come to any situation you're going through, and you're expecting to win, you're expecting to overcome, knowing that you can. Today, we get the opportunity to sit down with the current head football coach at Liberty University, Coach Hugh Freeze. Coach Freeze, man, he's had the opportunity to coach at some really cool places. I was just reading, he was a successful high school football coach at Briarcrest Christian School in Memphis, Tennessee, who coached Michael Orr. If you remember the movie The Blind Side, yeah, Hugh Freeze was the head coach there. He subsequently served as the head football coach at Lambeth University from 2008 to 2009, Arkansas State University in 2011, and the University of Mississippi from 2012 to 2016. Guys, I am from Lynchburg, Virginia, born and raised. I've been around here my entire life. I played baseball at Liberty University. And let me tell you something. I've been to so many Liberty University football games. And he is a blessing to have around. Let's just say that. He has come and he has changed the culture of a program. A program that, honestly, A program that maybe showed up to the field and were unsure of winning, now they show up to the field with the mentality that they have the opportunity to win every single game. They have changed the culture because I feel like the leadership has changed their perspective and their mindset. And that's all a testament to Hugh Freeze. My interview is next, right after the break.
We'll be right back with more after this.
Meredith Andrews. Extraordinary Women, a day of worship and encouragement. Coming to Marcus Point in Pensacola, April 17th. I'm Extraordinary Women host Julie Clinton, and I can't wait to see you along with our friends and some of the nation's best speakers, Casey Van Norman, Sheila Walsh, and Megan Clinton. Then praise and worship with Meredith Andrews. Super early bird savings extended with $49 tickets through March 31st. An incredible worship experience you'll never forget. Get your tickets now at ewomen.net. That's ewomen.net. Extraordinary Women.
Welcome back to the Built Different Podcast. Here's your host, Zach Clinton.
Hey, Coach Freeze, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yes, sir. First off, Coach, congrats on an amazing and historic run with Liberty this past football season. I mean, another big win at the Cure Bowl versus our rival Coastal Carolina, 37-34, primetime thriller. Guys finished 10-1, ranked in the top 25. I saw some early preseason polls, got you guys at number 24. You got Malik back, new recruiting class coming in. Coach, what are your thoughts going into spring ball and in the fall season?
It was kind of fun to hear you roll those off your tongue there.
That's
pretty neat to hear. You know, I just couldn't be more pleased with, you know, the first 2 years here, the first two seasons, and obviously coming in, moving from FCS to FBS is I'd never done that before, and
right.
Was a bit unsure, you know, exactly what the expectation should be. No one would have thought that. In the first 2 years, you go to two bowl games and win both, and a one season. I didn't expect that. I kind of thought maybe in year three we'd be competing to go to bowl games. So we've far out exceeded kind of the expectations. So with that comes more expectations.
That's right.
The way it works in this world of coaching and
right.
I'm never one that puts a quantitative value on what success looks like. Have been that way. I mean, I want to win them all, but you know, the truth of the matter, particularly with us being an independent school, is that you know, you can have a 7-win season and you feel as good about it as you did a 10-win season.
Right.
If that makes sense. Because schedules are so they fluctuate so much, but. And so, you know, I have no idea, you know, what next year holds in regards to quantitative values, but I do know the expectation doesn't change, and that is for us to be one of the best non-Power 5 schools in the country that competes week in, week out with whoever we play.
That's right.
And then compete to be bowl eligible. And I think that as long as you're in the independent world like we are, when you're competing to go to bowl games year in, year out, I think that's victory, man. That is
definitely victory.
And so that's, you know, there'll be some people that get hung up and say, well, he didn't win 10 next year or he didn't, you know. I won't get hung up on that. I'll look at our team and judge them based on, you know, how we chase the standard of being one of the best non-Power 5s in the country. And, you know, I think we're getting there.
That's right.
Our roster's changing, and so the more we can recruit, I think the more competitive we'll be.
I love what you just said, chasing the standard. I think that's what some of the best teams are all about. And, Coach, I just want to look at you personally in your life. I mean, you've had quite the decorated career. Our podcast is all about being built different. I mean, I think you're really hitting the big time in a sense when your head coach at Ole Miss, I think back to those days. I mean, you're beating teams like Alabama. I remember that watching you guys. You're rolling, almost like these mountaintop moments. But then things kind of took a turn. It spun a little out of control and went through a valley. We all go through valleys. But, Coach, what I love about you and what I've seen just from observation is that you're a man who recognized and that you needed to have a change and a change of perspective and really just own your influence. And I think, Coach, you've really done that. So my question is, what are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned from both the mountaintops and the valleys?
That God is the same. His love is the same on the mountaintop as it is in the valley. And
amen.
And his grace is real. It's needed. It's powerful. It's his mercies are new each morning. And I'm thankful for, you know, people that love me that way also. And
that's right.
I've had very few valleys in my whole life, to be honest. And I don't say that. I've just been fortunate and blessed. And the real valley that I had in my life, you know, I had a cause in it. And God loves us enough to discipline us as children. And, you know, could things have been handled differently you know, we could sit here and talk about that all day long. Of course, you know, there's things I wish would have been done a little differently. And things kind of spun out of control in the social media world,
right,
to be some things that it really wasn't. But at the end of the day, you know, I caused all of that. And so I think what integrity is, and I think you're speaking to it, is being able to look at your life or a film of a game and say, you know what, that's I need to own that. I've got to own that, and I've got to I tell our kids all the time, and when you truly have integrity, it's not that you always get it right. It's when you don't get it right, you're able to look at it and say, I got to own it.
Mm-hmm.
There may be some consequences. And then I got to make the necessary changes, and then I got to play the next play. And that's what I hope people see in my life, is that, man, this guy is a fighter, and he played the next play, and he owned it. He accepted some consequences. I didn't like all of them, but you know what? That's the way life is, and life punches you in the gut sometimes, whether sometimes by your own doing, sometimes not. But irregardless, man, being able to look at it and say, I've got to make these changes, and then fight like heck to play the next play.
That's right, Coach. Amen to that. And I think that's the beauty of God's grace in our Christian faith, is knowing that we can still fall short, but we all fall short, and knowing that God extends his hand to us and he wants to reach out and touch us. And like you said, he is always the same. Coach, we're so blessed now to have you here at Liberty. Thankfully you wound up here. You know, you have a lot of love, I can see, and excitement for the school. You know, I grew up in Lynchburg, born and raised. I played baseball at Liberty for 4 years, so I've been to more Liberty football games than I can even remember. But since you've been here, I've noticed the change, not just in, you know, the end of the season records, the bowl wins, but really in the excitement and the buzz. You said this word earlier, the expectation, the passion, the chip on the shoulder of the team, the mentality, but most importantly, the culture. Coach, what is culture? What is team culture even defined as by you?
Yeah, I think culture wins over talent.
Yeah.
If things are close to equal, if the talent doesn't have culture and chemistry. So, you know, I believe in the way we've done it everywhere I've been.
Yeah.
And I think the reason our teams, we've been able to turn every program we've been at pretty quickly. And I think it's because of culture. And
yeah.
And the culture that we try to create is one that fosters transparency. I'm going to stand in front of our team here in about another 15 minutes or so, and they know what they're going to get from me, and that's going to be – this dude is totally transparent. He tells you when Coach got it right, when Coach got it wrong. And, you know, I just try to be an open book to them to speak truth into their life. It really, our culture is about being a program that's obsessed with good habits. And to be a program that's obsessed with good habits, you got to be a people that's obsessed with good habits. And so it starts with me, starts with our coaching staff. And every year I do it. So here's my 2021 growth plan.
Yeah.
And I, listen, I couldn't even get it all on a little folder. So I got a lot of issues still that I've got to and, you know, but that's what I'll share with them all through spring ball is I'm going to share with them all of my points of if we truly want to be a great program, then we've got to chase good habits and be obsessed with them. And because ultimately your beliefs are going to drive a behavior and that behavior is going to create a habit and that habit's going to give you a result.
Come on.
And we need to start with the result.
That's right.
And if a habit's going to give you a result that you don't want, then we need to get rid of that habit.
That's right. I think Inky Johnson, he says, can I be committed to the process without being emotionally attached to the result? You got to love the process. And I love what you said, being obsessed with good habits. I think of transparency. I think of consistency. And one thing that you've talked a lot about and you've been quoted saying is mental toughness is the secret sauce in the game of football, right? I feel that teaching mental toughness is how I turn football programs around. Coach, how is mental toughness directly correlated to the culture of a program?
Yeah, I have to model that. And that's I have to look myself at the end of the day, every day, and ask, did I set the tone for this staff and for this program of a consistent approach to chasing our standard, to our habits, to our culture? And mental toughness to me is the ability to get up every morning and set the tone for that and then go through the grind of early morning practice, study hall, training table, weightlifting, more study hall, go to bed, early morning practice, meetings, and do it with the same energy, the same passion. Even on the days when you, I don't know if I measured up. I didn't bring it today like I should have for them. Mental toughness is the ability to get up the next day and chase it again and again and again. And I think, I don't know, if you were to ask our players, I have some strengths, I have some weaknesses, but I do think that one of the biggest compliments players could give me is say what you want to about Freeze, say what you want to about him, but the guy's consistent.
I love that.
He doesn't get too up. He doesn't get too down. You know, my wife would say, I know what I'm going to get with him. Hope our players feel the same.
Exactly. Being the same person every single day, consistent and committed. Coach, when I think of another word that comes to mind, I think of culture is family. Off the field, right? You're a husband to your wife, Jill. You're a father to three daughters. Coach, how are you constantly trying to stay emotionally close and connected with your family, or should I say your home team?
Yeah. The word for me there is intentionality.
Yeah.
It's making the most of the moment. So there's two words for time. There's kairos, which is the one that, man, creates moments. And then there's chronos, which is just the real time. Man, it's the chronos that, man, it's making the most of the time that you have. And I think that we do a really good job of being intentional. Hmm. I'm not a grinder in the office. I'm going to be at home in the off season to eat dinner with my family.
Yeah.
I'm going to set specific times, like today I have two dates with my daughters, Madison and Jordan, at lunch. We do that once a week.
That's awesome.
And of course Reagan's working for me, so I see her all the time. But and then making sure you protect your marriage. Listen, I don't want to get into a sermon preaching, but the number one, man, for a father and a husband, it keeps me up at night wondering, have I done enough? Have I done enough to leave the legacy that I want to leave with my wife and my children and their children that follow in generations to come? And that keeps me up at night. And I don't know any man that it shouldn't. And here's reality. God created marriage to be a picture of Christ's love for us.
That's right.
And we as men have to set the tone.
Right.
And I don't know that I can have a wife that is that walks with a glow and children that walks with a glow that they are cherished if I don't walk with a glow as a redeemed son. Mm. And so I think it starts there with us, but you also have to realize, man, the number one attack from the enemy is coming against that man.
That's right.
In his family. And I can testify to it. I can testify to the attacks that come. And man, if you're not intentional,
that's right,
about those relationships, you know, we do it with our staff.
Yeah.
We have a Bible study with our staff daily, but I give them homework to go and do with their families, to create conversation away from these cell phones.
That's great.
and other stuff. And I love hearing the reports come from them.
That's great, Coach. Intentionality. The most intentional person who walked on this earth, like you're saying, was Jesus. And we're just called to be a reflection and overflow of who he is in somebody's life. Coach Freeze, there's a lot of young athletes out there. They're constantly looking for an edge. I know quite a few guys that are dreaming of playing D1 college football. Coach, what do you look for in a kid? Obviously, it's so much more than talent. What are the intangibles that can help a kid separate himself from the rest of the pack?
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, we do have a, you have kind of size speed ratio that you have in mind at this level.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's not exceptions to that.
Right.
But truthfully, that's some of the first things you look at is, all right, he's an outside receiver. We'd love for him to be 6'1 or better, and we'd love for him to run this. So you start there with every position, but there's certainly intangibles. I tell you, COVID's really hurt us in some of these intangibles because I can't send coaches out because I have a list of questions. You know, I want to know, are you watched in practice? All right, tell me how he practiced. Did he love ball? You know, are you watching him play a game? What happened when things went bad? How was he on the sideline?
Yeah.
You went in the school. Tell me what the janitor says about him. Tell me what the cafeteria worker says about him. That's the things I want to know. And then I like to get in the home face to face with them and get a feel for really who they are. I'm not afraid of imperfect kids.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid. We're all imperfect.
That's right.
I'm not afraid of kids that have issues. I'm afraid of kids that, don't want to chase the standard. And if I'm okay with wherever you're starting at, just convince me that you want what we're going to give you. And that's the intangibles that come in after you do all the size, speed, ratio, and yeah, he can play. All right, now let's dig and find the other stuff.
That's right. Chasing the standard, and someone's always watching. Coach, just in closing, I want to touch on the Freeze Foundation. It exists to help children in need, improving the quality of life for orphans and needy children around the world. Coach, how is God using the ministry, and how can we get involved?
Oh, it's been incredible. So here's what's happened.
Yes.
When I decided to come here, I got a phone call from a good friend of mine named Chris Tomlin, who's man, he had this wild idea of, man, why don't you join us? I'm creating this new movement called Angel Armies for foster care in the United States. And where the Freeze Foundation, we've been a lot of places like Haiti. We adopted a village there. We've got an orphanage in Africa and great work's going on there. But we probably hadn't done as much here. And Tomlin had this vision, man, let's make an impact right here. And so we decided to join he and Lauren. And we rolled the Freeze Foundation into Angel Armies.
Yeah.
Now we have presently in our 2 years here kept over 1,100 kids out of the foster care system.
That's amazing.
And it's just been incredible. So, man, join Angel Armies movement. It's making a real-time difference in people's lives through local churches and the care portal. So it's been amazing. Our kids, we let our team decides what needs to meet weekly. We've adopted 10 cities, and I put our wives actually run it for us. So they come in and they'll put up here are 10 needs from Kansas City, Missouri. And man, it's difficult because they have a budget. You know, I give every position $10,000 a semester. And, you know, here's a family, man, this grandmother has got these three kids and they're going into the foster care system unless these needs are met in real time. And man, we're able to meet them in real time and keep them out of the system. And then the local church takes, we fund it. And the local church there that has partnered with Angel Armies goes to meet the need. And then we hopeful that leads to living water.
Amen. Well, that's awesome, Coach. Thank you so much just for how letting God use you and speak through you. Coach, thanks for your vulnerability. Thank you for your time. We here at the Build Different Podcast truly appreciate you. Keep chasing the standard.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hey, everyone. Just in closing, man, I loved what Coach Hugh Freeze had to share with us today. But what I got out of it, I wrote down some things. Create a winning culture in your own life. Guys, that could be athletically, that could be in your marriage, maybe even in your family. Just be all in. And one of the favorite things I took from what Coach had to share with us today was this. Become obsessed with good habits. Make the next right decision today. Hey everyone, make sure to stick around for the house call question of the day with my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, coming to you right after this short commercial break.
We'll be right back with more after this.
Meredith Andrews. Extraordinary Women, a day of worship and encouragement. Coming to Marcus Point in Pensacola, April 17th. I'm Extraordinary Women host Julie Clinton, and I can't wait to see you along with our friends and some of the nation's best speakers, Casey Van Norman, Sheila Walsh, and Megan Clinton. Then praise and worship with Meredith Andrews. Super early bird savings extended with $49 tickets through March 31st. An incredible worship experience you'll never forget. Get your tickets now at ewomen.net. That's ewomen.net. Extraordinary Women.
Welcome back to the Built Different podcast. It's time for a house call. This segment features professional counselors in our circle answering one of your questions.
Welcome to House Call on this edition of the Built Different podcast. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Our question for today is, in working with families, what's your biggest piece of advice to someone who's trying to create a better culture within their marriage or family? I think everyone I know wants to have a closer relationship. That kind of, I've got your back, I'm going to be there for you thick and thin no matter what type of relationship. We've learned that a key sign of a healthy relationship, a healthy system, is whether or not you can accept influence from each other. Think about that for a moment. You can only really accept influence, or you'll receive influence from someone, if you feel safe with them. It's anchored in this. People don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. And the hallmark, again, of a healthy relationship is, do you feel safe in that relationship? When you feel safe, you're free to be yourself. It allows me to be me. And hopefully, in that culture, that climate, I'm driven to be the best version of me I can be as we do life together. That's what we all crave, and I believe this, that's what we're all made for. For this edition of House Call on the Built Different podcast, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
Hey everyone, to find out more about my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, you can go to www.drtimclinton.com. As always, thanks for joining me on this episode, and we'll see you next time on the Built Different podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. As we close today, we want to remind you about the upcoming Waymaker World Conference. This world premier Christian counseling event will be held in Orlando, Florida, September 15th through September 18th. Over the last 14 years, the World Conference has sold out with nearly 7,000 counselors, coaches, pastors, chaplains, and more, representing all 50 states and over 40 countries. Early bird registration is open now through March 31st, so register today for extra savings. To find out more, go to worldconference.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us next time for another edition of the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton.